Greetings and salutations, everyone. This is AC2GS, and my name is Roy, and I am net control operator for this, the Limark Technical Net. Limark Technical Net has been going strong for 43 years. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m., we sit in front of our radios and exchange information, ideas. We learn from each other, we teach each other, and we entertain each other. And I thank you once again for coming by 8 o'clock this Sunday night when we try and do it all over again. Let me drop for a second, and I will return with the usual links. If you would like to contact me and you can't do it on the radio, then email is a good method. That would either be for what we used to call mailbag questions. Those are questions usually asked during the technical net, but you might not have access to a radio. So you can email me the question. If it sounds like a good one, I'll discuss it. And you can either listen to it on an audio stream that we provide through the Internet, or else you can get it downloaded from an archival site and listen to it at a later time. Sometimes we have people who want to discuss a technical topic that's come into the news so that they're better versed in, and we let them do that. Sometimes people suggest a topic that they would like to be part of, and sometimes people know nothing about a particular topic but are curious and want to hear other people discuss it. Also, we like to have these technical puzzles. So if you have a mind-twisting technical puzzle, hopefully related to amateur radio, but, you know, some form of science and technology, as long as it can't be answered by just Googling it. We're always looking for those. They're very few and far between, but they're very precious. Also, if you want me to tap Paul on the shoulder for a NASA space-related story, you can directly email him. His email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. But for all the others, if you want to contact me, my email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Also, let me drop for a second, and I'll be right back with the rest of the links. Okay. Throughout the week, I like to collect a bunch of interesting articles and YouTubes and what have you. I cut and paste them, and I put them in a link page, which is available 24/7. You just have to type into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com, and that will bring you to the link page. There's all kinds of interesting links this week. We discussed a little bit of the story of a killer AI on a drone that wasn't. So there's a story about that. There's a very interesting a story about a strange number system. A few years ago, when we were doing the science talk sessions, we went through a lot of the different number lines, imaginary number lines, and rational and irrational. So this is an interesting YouTube discussing yet another interesting number system. And, you know, some interesting things about NASA and SpaceX and about the Arecibo Observatory that might be coming back in a slightly downsized way. So just type into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com, any old time, and take a look at the articles when you have some free time. Also, I mentioned we do provide an audio stream. If you cannot receive the radio signal, but you have Internet access, type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that will give you the audio stream. We have a chat room available. Sometimes it's busy. It's been quiet lately. You can get onto it by typing into your browser chat.ac2gs.com. And, of course, I like to remind people that MyKC2NJI has an archive site of these technical nets that go as far back as September of 2006. His site is amateurradio.tv. He has over 1 million visitors, so make it 1,000,001. Anyway, I'll be right back in a second and tell you what we have planned for tonight. We will ask for questions of a technical nature. I would prefer amateur radio-related questions at the beginning, but we're open to discuss any aspect of science and technology. So if you have a question or a topic of interest or know something and want to share it with us, we're more than happy to do that. That should take us hopefully to about 10:15 when Paul, WS2N, will bring us the SpaceNet report. That will take us to about 11 o'clock p.m., and I will return and hopefully tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the following week and until next week. So that's the plan. If the laws of physics maintain themselves, propagation works the way it's supposed to, and the repeater and my QTH continue to work nicely the way they seem to be working tonight. So that's the plan. If anyone has any questions or topics for tonight, please hit that push to talk. Give me your first name and your call sign.
And to explain about today's disaster, from physics standpoint, I have, or I think to have, that would be much safer for me to say, I think to have a step-by-step explanation of what happened and why it happened. And media don't say a word about it. Victor.
Okay, Wes, you're on the list. Anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight? Gee, it's going to be a quiet night, I guess. Once again, I am AC2GS. This is the Limark Technical Net. If anyone else out there has any questions or topics for tonight, give me your name and your call sign, and we'll put you on the list. Okay, perhaps everyone is coming late to the party. So hopefully as time goes on, we'll have some people with some topics and some discussions. We will see what the future brings us. So I guess, Wesley, you are on. Of course, you're talking about the terrible accident that took place on I-95. I've seen bits and pieces. I don't know whether they're hiding things or they're being cautious because they lack definite answers to reporters' questions, but please tell me what you think.
Yeah, that is either what I think or what I know, or what I might know. See, I'm not very much experienced what is the risk of giving the story that is not given publicly, but there's no other explanation so far, so that may be a theory from a physics standpoint. But yeah, okay, so let's start. An elevated section of Interstate 95 in northeast Philadelphia collapsed Sunday, which was 6:15, 6:30 this morning, shutting the highway. A closure that could take the key freight artery offline for weeks, if not longer. So we have various media reports. They report that there was an oil tanker that caught a fire underneath of the elevated structure. The collapse is reported to be in the neighborhood of Northeast Philadelphia, known as Tacony. For 15 miles before and after that point, the traffic is closed. So most of the highway for 157,000 cars every day is disabled both sides. They also reported that even though that it was a north side, the southbound is not stable to handle the traffic. Let me jump. They were not explaining exactly what kind of tanker was that, what was the fuel that was in the tanker. They only say that heavy section of interstate, five rows. So that would be four rows plus the emergency row. Five rows moved up and then collapsed and broke in the middle, causing fire or whatsoever. Now, from physics standpoint, you may think how much of the fuel is needed or the explosive material is needed to lift a thousand of tons. I was trying to establish what is the weight of one section of the highway, which is approximately 50 feet wide and 100 feet long. But I wasn't able. Interesting story is that the tanker was trying to get out of the highway to the service road. The service road was going down, and the curve was leading to underpass, so it was overpass, the highway over it, and then it goes to the road from the other side of the highway. A question to you, what do you think was the cause? Because many of you saw the videos. Dr. Roy, also, what is the cause of that explosion? What made that explosion? Because just the explanation that is given publicly has nothing to do with what I think is truth or what I think is what happened. But feel free to explain it. Dr. Roy.
AC2GS. Well, Wesley, I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know what that truck was holding. I'm a little confused. The way that you describe it, you make it sound as though the explosion pushed it up, as opposed to the inclination I had from the way that the story was presented. It sounded more like a truck carrying very combustible material broke down and erupted into fire, and the fire burned the underside of the overpass, destroying some structural components, and the weight of the remaining overpass collapsed in on the underpass. I didn't hear anyone mention anything being hurled upward. It was just kind of a local explosion with a lot of flames and a lot of heat. But what substance was in the truck is anyone's guess. Something highly combustible, no doubt. Perhaps, unfortunately, something toxic, but we'll know as time goes on.
So let me explain how the highway, part of the highway, looks like. So you have a northbound and southbound. Each one has a five sections. There will be four sections plus the emergency road nearby the edges. Those are lies on the piers. So if we go to it would be elevated highway that is controlled. Access highway rise above the grade for the entire length. And the elevation is usually constructed as the viaducts, typically to the long pier bridge. But the section wasn't that long. It was probably about 100 feet long section, very well designed, and the construction was done not many years ago to make it safe. But the service road was like if you're trying to get out of the exit, then you find yourself on the service road. And that service road goes parallel to the highway till it goes underneath of that highway. And there is a curvature of the service road that goes underneath of the highway. And once you are underneath of the highway, you see the road from the other side, and you can go straight. Now you have a number of manholes over there, and the whole system of the water water redirectioning, or how to call it, the whole system of pipes, there are in three to 5 feet in diameter underneath of it. There is too much water, that water goes into it. So that's probably what I could say about it. Back to you.
Okay, the story as I know it is there was a tanker truck that was holding flammable cargo, and it apparently caught fire. So, and, you know, there is at least one vehicle that's stuck underneath it. It probably isn't the original vehicle that caught fire, but I don't know. I'm still not quite sure. Well, what do you think it caused it? Do you think you know what the flammable cargo is, or do you think that's to hide the real problem that's going on here?
I think what caused it. I think I know what caused it, and I think I know what is the problem here. So we have, I forgot the words, so I couldn't really construct the sentence properly. So that was a sewer manhole system and the maintenance hole, and there were a few of them. And in one of the videos, you see the squarish one without the cover. And then the report says that blowing up tanker created pressure in the manhole. And those 3 to 5 feet diameter pipes underneath of it were connected to another manhole, and all of them lost their covers. The covers are like about 350 pounds, and that pressure made them flying like a coin. And that was the point at which I started to think about it. And then I was carefully looking at all of the information about it, no word. The official report says no word. Says, yeah, the tanker blowed. So imagine that the happy guy listening to some music is going underneath of the highway to blow himself. Ridiculous. Anybody knows what's happened or thinks they know what's happened? And to XGN.
Okay, Wes. Well, I guess you have suspicions. I tend to think that if a large cargo of explosives in a tanker explode, the heat can have interesting effects. You can have, you know, Venturi airflows and all kinds of fun stuff that are producing a lot of forces on that manhole. I know they can fly out when things explode inside the manhole. I don't know if they can fly outside, but that's a semi-enclosed area, too. So, currents of superheated air can have curious side effects. So, you know, rather than kind of assume that it's a cover-up at the very top, I tend to try to give officials the benefit of the doubt. I think at this point it's more that they don't quite know what the heck's gone on. And I tend to prefer to give them some time to figure it out and explain it, and then decide if it makes sense to me or not.
Yeah, you have a good point. They have to think. They're gonna be thinking what to say. In other words, it doesn't take a rocket physicist to find out what's going on. Only look at the videos. In the videos that I have sent you, I said watch it 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, whatsoever. And the answer is obvious to every fireman that shows up on the scene. But for some reason, nobody says about it. In 1998, I was in Oco, Nevada, in Morari Gold Mine. And my job was to examine underground of that mine. So we had a series of corridors, we had a series of problems, and then I spoke to physicists over there. We got good money for it, actually. And then I went to Kennecott Corporation, and there was in Salt Lake City that was a copper mine. So we had a two structures. One was the open one, and the other one was underground mine. Funny thing was that in the gold mine, nobody saw the gold. So the people were working there for 20, 30 years, and nobody saw the gold there. The gold is in the rock. And they crushed the rock, and then they were able to get that gold from it. Let me drop. So I had the two scientists with me. That was before 9/11, so my office was still there in World Trade Center. And I remember that the next job that we were supposed to do was for Virginia Highway Department of Transportation. There was a mapping of the abandoned coal mines that were creating the problems for highways that were built over those. So then I heard there was Mr. Lepchik, the chief of the department at that time, and then I've heard interesting stories about those mines. Anybody has an idea what caused the highway collapse and the tanker blow up in the Highway 95 and to XGN?
WS2N.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, the report I heard was that gasoline was contaminating the area, thousands of gallons of gasoline. So, that, you know, that's an early report. Maybe that's not true. You know, it's early. So that's a possibility. But whatever it was flammable. I haven't seen a truck or anything yet. I'm assuming it's underneath the bridge. But if a truck, let's say, flips over, somehow starts leaking fuel and then it ignites, now you have a fire. Now, maybe there was not an explosion from that truck. Maybe it was just a fire. Now, the fire goes up if it's underneath the bridge. You have steel, big steel beams all over on those bridges. And they usually cover them with, they spray them with fireproofing, you know, when they're installed. And the idea of that fireproofing is to make sure the beams don't ever heat up and then warp, because that would, you know, cause a collapse. Let me drop it. So I'm going to take a wild guess until I hear a report that somehow that fireproofing was compromised, or maybe they didn't have it on, you know, one or two of those beams, ability too. But it could have been compromised, you know, from the constant flames from a truck. The beam could warp and then it could collapse. It doesn't look like there was an explosion where this thing, where the bridge rose up in the air. It looks like more of a collapse, which tells me it would be a fault in the steel. If you go to any high-rise building and you walk through those buildings with, you know, if it's not finished, you know, you walk through an unfinished floor on a high-rise building, and you look up, you see steel beams all over. Steel beams are covered with fireproofing. In the old days, they used to actually spray asbestos on it, but, you know, they don't do that anymore, but they still do fireproofing, and they cover all the beams. But also what they have in buildings are, you have a sprinkler main going down, you know, and then you have heads going up into these voids, into these bays, you know, one after the other. You know, in case there is a fire, it has double protection, from the sprinkler heads. They do that quite a bit. course, they probably won't do that on a bridge. But you know, if they had that, that would be, you know, that would be helpful. But we'll see. I just think it's a fire event more than an explosion. The explosion that they're talking about for the grates down below. And you're saying they weigh 300 some odd pounds. Well, that would be easy to blow, because if you had fuel leaking into the system, into those drainage systems, and they get ignited, you know, in, you know, quick, especially if it's gasoline. Although, like I said, I'm not sure if it was, but if that's gasoline, that's going to build up pressure real fast inside of a tight quarters and easily blow a manhole or sewer grates or storm drains right through the air. So back to you, WS Twins.
Yeah, inches of I-beam or T-beam used for the supporting structure for that lifted bridge, we could call it bridge section, cannot be easily heated. And if we compare it to 9/11, it took quite a amount of time before the structure gets weakened. Let me drop. Also, turn, if the tanker was turned, then unlikely the explosion was able to damage the section of the bridge. So imagine we have a few thousand tons of a section, and that section is open, and that underpass is open from two sides. So we don't have a closed area where the gases could blow the weakest part of it. We have a ground with the sewer structure, and we have a bridge, and we have two open sides. If the tanker was blown, then it's too far away to the bottom of the section, suspended section of the bridge, to heat it up. So I rather exclude that. I think there was an explosion that made the section collapse. And so every transmission I make, I'm adding a little bit to the puzzle. What could add up to that explosion to make the section fly of the bridge? Dr. Roy.
Has anyone anywhere at any time today said that it flew? I think it slumped and fell. You can see it. One of the connections to the highway are still kind of close together, and what looks like the connection to the other overpass failed, and one side of that strip of road failed, and it cantilevered down. So you can still sort of see one side that's not really connected anymore. It's like a piece of brittle rubber that you snapped. And I don't see any kind of ballooning of the middle of the road surface that would more likely to me suggest an explosive process. It tends to look to me like excessive heat caused one of the sides of the road and the connection to the other side of the road to fail, and just the massive weight of the structure kind of cantilevered on itself. But then, you know, I mean, we're just kind of blowing into the wind. I don't really see the point right now. You know, as the week progresses, hopefully there'll be more information released. You can decide whether to believe it or not. But at this point, there's so little information, I don't know, you know, you kind of drawing a conclusion that there's an explosion. And all the stuff that I've read talks about a flammable cargo, catching fire, burning. I don't recall any reports of massive explosions in the area, and I don't see any kind of distortion to the broken road that speak of some kind of explosion in the middle of it. It just, like, the connections on two sides failed, and it can't deliver down.
You made a good point. So I'm going to explain what you saw, and your viewer disagree. Well, a measure for the concrete barriers is, well, that before the concrete is poured into it, that's for the structure of elevated part of the highway. So it's manufactured from high tensile steel wires, and those wires are woven to create a grid-like pattern. That pattern will distribute the stress of impact upon the collision in the even mirror through the barrier. So as a result, it can help to avoid structural failure. That's why you saw from one side that wire is still intact, and from the other side it was whipped off. So what happened is the section lift up a little. So the amount of energy from that blow that was underneath of it was enough to lift it up a little, and then when it was falling up or falling down, it broke in one third of its cross section. So then you see the part of it lying down and the part of it exactly where it was broken from the other side, where the wire mesh was broken. Right or wrong?
Okay, but it doesn't necessarily mean it went up before it went down. You know, I mean, not like I'm a structural engineer anyway.
Well, for that we have to go to the structural engineering of the concrete and go to the structure of the concrete especially used for the highway. The concrete that goes to the highway is especially immune for the vibration, but not for the point impact. I don't have the article in front of me which says about it, but they wrote it, but I was able to read it. So I'm going to give a little bit more information. So we have a tanker that is going from the highway to the service road, and once that tanker was underneath, we don't know if it was gasoline or oil-based or petroleum-based product. But the final report says that it was petroleum-based product. So it was they don't name it that it was a tanker with the gasoline job. Okay. So the tanker went to underpass, so there was overpass that was over it, and then, well, it blew up, having two open areas in front and at the back of it. There must be additional energy that is coming from somewhere that helps to damage the structure. The amount of fire that was there, reported on the video, was like a small house fire. It wasn't really a heavy, and it wasn't really very much, and there was nothing to burn underneath of this of that highway, apart from that truck. What would be the additional energy coming from that created that bridge collapse? Dr. Roy.
AC2GS. I'll say a couple of things, and then I want everyone to kind of rest their push-to-talk button, because Frank WB2BXO over in Pennsylvania would really like to say something on Echolink, but we're all quick keying him out of it. So I just want to add once again, I do not know, because I do not know the specific chemical or volume of the material that exploded. It could have sprayed its gunk all over the place and could have burned for hours and hours and hours. I don't know. Right now, most of the questions are not really easy to be answered legitimately because we know so little. As time goes on, hopefully we'll know more. I'm getting the strong sense that you think some terrible explosive material was under the manholes that caused it, and I'm sure you'll tell us what kind of terrible explosive people just kind of store under highway manholes. But before that, let's give Frank a chance. So everyone rest your push-to-talk button for a little while and give Frank a chance.
Okay, I tuned into the discussion in progress, so before I go on and pontificate a little bit, we're talking about the I-95 collapse here in Northeast Philly, am I correct?
Yes, you are quite correct, Frank.
Okay, the story on the local news, and I think it was also on the national news, was that the fire was believed to be something like 8,500 gallons of 87-octane gasoline. And there were some secondary explosions in manholes afterwards. And the road is believed to have buckled from the heat. That's about all the that they know in the press conference that was on the local news here earlier. I'm actually about 10 minutes by car from where this all happened. I've ridden over onto that entrance any number of times. It's our local entrance to I-95, Cottman Avenue here. Go ahead.
KD2WOT.
Yes, Chris.
Yes, I was listening. I just wanted to make a comment. I think it really is heat, you know, heat related, whereby the steel that's embedded in the roadway expands greatly, and the other steel expands, and when it does, it stresses the concrete to the point where it cracks and then becomes unstable, and would be subject then to a collapse.
Okay, you know, I'm starting to get deja vu feelings about 9/11, and people who don't believe that jet fuel can soften building steel. Anyway, I guess Wes, do you want to respond to Frank and Chris?
Okay, so it was additional element adding energy to the blow. We're adding another element. We're standing now that there was a tanker or there was a truck having some sort of petroleum product on it. And then we know that we have an area on from underpass that's open from two sides. The width is approximately 70 feet. The length of the section is 150 feet. So we have that open, that much of the open area. And now we have that part that is suspended on the top of it collapsing. The energy from the tanker was not enough to lift it up. There must be some additional energy that actually helped that. My question is, where that energy comes from? And additional information for make it easy. All of the manholes in the grass, in the area, lost their covers. And I especially pointed out to Roy for you, you look at the video 10 seconds only. If you look at that video that it says 10 seconds only, you're going to see what caused that. Back to you.
PhD.
Yes, Jim. I was wondering when you would step up to the radio. Our resident fireman.
Thank you for the intro, KD2VHD. I came in the middle of the conversation, and I'm not aware of the current event. I've been busy. But there are some background pieces of information that will be helpful evaluating what you're looking at. If this was a gasoline tanker, it's very consistent for the actions of a gasoline tanker to drop liquid on the ground due to these kind of traumas you're talking about, go down in a manhole, find an ignition source, and blow up. So that could be intentional, but most likely it was not. It was probably just the nature of the way those type of... The other thing is to keep in mind is that a bridge that's constructed of steel for structural strength utilizes the steel for its tensile strength and the concrete for its compressive strength. And while the steel does expand, as one of the previous comments mentioned, that it can have catastrophic events result from it. I'm going to let it drop a second. The more important feature is the fact that steel, structural steel, loses its tensile strength at 800 degrees, which is easily attained from a tank truck underneath a bridge. Easily, a piece of cake. It's no sweat. And the tensile strength of the steel is gone, and it remains steel. It does not melt, but it turns into spaghetti, and things fall apart. So not knowing about the incident in particular, those are some general theories of building construction and building failure that apply to fire that might be helpful evaluating the circumstance. Back to that.
Okay, thank you very much, Jim. We keep getting back to, Wesley, you're talking about an explosion pushing it up. And I've yet to see anything written down about, there were small explosions and there were all kinds of things. But I don't read any place about someone seeing the structure kind of jump up. I would assume that it just kind of failed and slumped down, but I don't know that because there isn't very much available in the news about it. So I'm sure that you have a specific idea that of something sitting in those hole potholes that caused the massive explosion. And eventually, I'm sure you'll share that with us.
Yes, I can, and it's absolutely visible, no question about it. In the meantime, when I'm talking to you, Dr. Roy, you can push at that link. It's, I believe, link number 3. It says, watch 10 seconds only. And watch 10 seconds and look what's happened at the bottom of at the ground of the bottom of that underpass. What's happening? For me, it was obvious when I was in Virginia exploring the abandoned coal mines, and when I was in gold mine in Murari gold mine in Elko, Nevada. So that was exactly the same cause. Now I think everybody would know what happened. Enter Xian.
Well, I don't know about the rest of you guys out there, but I'm still clueless. Do you want to just tell us, Wesley?
Okay. If you look at the video number 3, I believe it was number 3, 10 seconds. Before that, one of the reporters of NBC, I believe, said, when tanker blow out, it created the pressure in the manhole, and the pressure in the manhole blow out additional adjacent manholes connected with the sewer system to the extent that 350 pounds covers blow out and fly like a penis. And that was interesting. So I looked at 10 videos and I found the cause. Now, for safety, I should say, I think I found the cause of it, but nobody talks about it. So I think I found the cause of it. And the cause of it is methane. Nobody wants to talk about methane. When you look at the video number 3, 10 seconds, many hours after the section collapsed, you see like a torch blowing out from those holes. There is a hole, squarish one, directly in the middle of the road from the lower section, from underpass, where the flame is going out, hours after that. So we're talking about 6:15, 6:30 in the morning, and then we're talking about 3 o'clock p.m. Let me drop. So let me start again. I think I know what's happened. The sewer system was full of methane. Why was that? Well, I spoke to the sanitation guy. It's not uncommon. Many times it happened in New York, too. But we don't know why that methane was in such a concentration was in the sewer system. Now, the truck went out from the highway, goes to the underpass, and because it was heavy truck and it was going down, he pushed the brakes. The methane was flowing by itself, flowing like a free flow, flowing. When he pushed the brakes, he created a spark. He ignited the methane. The methane, first, because it was a mixture with air, whatever the percentage was, blowed up. And then, it is possible so one of the manhole could be open and the truck got stuck in that manhole, which we don't know yet. That flame, like a torch, blew to the truck and created a fire. And it created an explosion. Now, whether it was the explosion by itself or there was explosion that was connected, let me drop. That was connected with the long time fire, we see the section of the bridge that collapsed, but it collapsed very, very funny way. It is like broken in the middle. So one part is still hanging on the pier and the ribbon wires from the pavement from the top of the highway. And the second one simply dropped down. And from the other side, we see that the ribbon wires is already broken. So I agree. There was an excellent comment standing about the weakening structure of 800 degrees. But we know that the energy from the blow was not enough or sufficiently not enough to blow the section of the highway. We're talking about the joint power of the petroleum product and the methane from the manhole or manholes that helped or etched the energy to create that section of the highway collapse. And then I saw some amateur videos made like half an hour ago or hour ago, and I still see that fire like a torch blowing up from those manholes. It's not like a steady torch because we need oxygen. So when the mixture is at the right proportion, then we have a mine collapse, which we were talking in a gold mine in Nevada, and which I was talking about with Mr. Levchik, chief of Department of Highway Administration of Virginia, many years ago. So for me, this is what happened, but nobody wants to talk about it. So for safety, I say, I think I know what is the reason. Back to you.
AC2GS, I'll hopefully leave some time for everyone else to say their piece as well. I would agree that sewers have sewer gas, which is mostly methane, and occasionally sewer gas does explode. I find it very weird that the brakes of a truck that happens to have thousands of gallons of fossil fuel was the one that triggered it, and the fossil fuel had nothing to do with it. I also think it's much more likely, personally, that when the manhole covers popped out because of the heat and flame and gasoline, a lot of the gasoline that was on the ground dripped down into the sewer holes, providing a kind of fuel source for those flames coming out of it. So I am still not convinced, Wesley, but I'm interested in the other people who have been discussing this, what their opinion of whether or not this was just a massive swamp gas explosion and the tanker full of gasoline was incidental.
Question, WA2VFM.
Yes, VFM.
Yes, good evening. I can't add anything to it, but I have a question for Leslie. Why is it that, Leslie, you feel that no one wishes to discuss the presence of methane? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that is a good question. Thank you very much for that. If nobody talks about that possibility, and it is obvious that 10 hours after that you still have a torch blow from the manhole, it is unlikely the gasoline that dripped down there and now is creating a fire, because something had to heat up or move the section of the bridge. But nobody wants to talk about that. And it's obvious, it's nothing special. It doesn't require the smart man, a physicist, or whoever. It just requires the regular man walking on the street who knows that, I saw that situation. I've heard about the situation in the news. Oh, yeah, the manhole could blow up. Oh, my manhole could explode. Oh, yeah. And then we know that the mines collapse due to the methane explosion. So that's how much of the energy is there. But nobody wants to talk about it. So either I'm wrong, or that's nobody around thought about the same, or maybe nobody wants to talk about it. Interesting.
You keep on saying nobody wants to talk about it, but you haven't answered my question.
I didn't see anybody proposing anywhere this kind of explanation. But if the answer is obvious, like 2 plus 2 is 4, it's obvious to everybody. And it's not for the special, for the special smart men. Nobody talks about it. It means they don't want to talk about it. I saw the official report. All of the engineers, all the fire department, whatsoever, they say, yeah, there was an explosion of the truck having a petroleum product on it. And that what happened. But then we see on all of the videos, we see those torch-like fire coming still out of the manholes. So what would be the proper description or proper way to express myself? What do you think?
PhD.
Yes, Jim.
A couple thoughts to add to the discussion. I think there are people that want to discuss it. It sounds like an interesting situation. I'll tell you this. Most of the time when manholes explode, it's not due to gases like products, like propane or natural gas. It's due to the products of combustion of the burning electrical insulation on the wiring. So if a fire starts for whatever reason, for due to deterioration and incomplete contact on the high current lines that heats up the insulation and it starts burning, or it starts from gasoline from above or whatever, some other source. When the insulation burns, the PVC, largely insulation, causes smoke, and the smoke is an unburned fuel. And eventually it gets hot enough, and it has an ignition source at the fire, and the smoke explodes, and it'll blow a whole street of manholes up on the top of a tenement building. No methane needed. And when that happens, it goes on for a long time. It's very difficult to actually stop the process once it's started because of the inaccessibility of those wires. I'm going to let it drop for a second. So none of this precludes that methane may be involved. I'm just saying the normal course of events in a fire that causes manhole covers to explode, it's the smoke that is burning, and nasty stuff happens. So if you have an intact electrical system and it's compromised by a fire caused by a gasoline tanker, insulation melts, the wire's short, and all kinds of crap happens after that. That's what is common when you see these messes in New York City with the manholes blowing up and fires that go on for days. That by no means means that it's definitely what happened here, but that's what's common. The other thing is that methane usually isn't spoken of when you're dealing with either propane or natural gas. It's important to know, I'm going to let it drop one more time, that propane that you have in your barbecue is heavier than air, and it sinks down into spaces like that, and it will build up until it finds a source of ignition, and it will explode. Natural gas, on the other hand, which is in the pipes under the ground, is lighter than air, and typically it will expel out of the small vent holes in the manhole cover and not cause an explosion if it has it below ground. It can, but it usually doesn't. So those are just trends. No, doesn't make anything not possible that Wesley's saying, but those are the normal course of events. I hope that's helpful. Back to that.
Okay, very good, Jim. I just also want to point out that caves are not really similar to sewer systems. Sewer systems have multiple manhole covers all over the place. Some of them are vented, some of them, I guess, aren't, whereas mines tend to have an entrance and little else, and things, gases and such, can collect. Everyone remembers the old story about the canary in the coal mine and such. So I think we're talking apples and oranges here, personally.
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing that story. Definitely it is possible. Thing is that 10 hours later we have those torches. So if I was to take the advice or the opinion of Dr. Boy, who says it was heating underneath of the highway. If we have a torch from the manhole that is going over the tanker with the petroleum products, and the flame is high enough or tall enough to reach the barren section of the elevated highway, then we may think about overheating. And at that point, that comment about 800 degrees of the temperature that is critical to the beam structure to lose tensile would be right. And to exchange.
VFM for a question.
Yes, though.
Thank you. If I may, I'm not trying to be repetitive here, but my many, many years as a products liability trial attorney, I have a little bit of a layperson's understanding, but still I've asked Leslie respectfully why he feels, he said this at least three times or more, why they're not mentioning methane, and I'm wondering the reason for that rationale. Is there something, Leslie, that you feel may have been indicative of a methane buildup, and secondly, someone is trying to keep it under the rug, or what is the reason for your hypothesis? I'm just curious.
I'm trying to be careful answering this question because I'm not the professor in the freedom of speech, what is allowed, what is not. I was trying to avoid the answer for it. Okay. Let's assume theoretically, that there is a methane in the sewer system. And officials don't want to talk about it, but it's obvious. It's all of the manholes were blown, all of the covers, 350 pounds, were blown all around, and there were torches from mostly, if not all of